Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And then in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Amen. Next reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back by Herod, they returned to their country by a different route.
Well, it's great to be with you here this morning. Thank you to everyone that's taken part already. Thank you to Josh and Caleb for the music this morning, and Pauline, Bianca and Josh for those videos, for Margaret for the reading, for David for stepping in to lead this morning, and John and Dewi for doing all the amazing technical stuff behind the scenes. Well, Nadolig Llawen, Joyeux Noël, Shungdun Kwaila, Christmas Valtical, Buon Natale, Afishapa, Feliz Navistad, Vesuich Schwant, Happy Christmas. Saying Happy Christmas can be and should be something very special, and if I did any mistakes there, I apologize, but because when it is said with true meaning that you genuinely desire that someone's time over Christmas, especially Christmas Day, is a happy, a blessed, a joyful one, then that makes a huge difference when someone hears it. When you truly say Happy Christmas, or hear someone say Happy Christmas to you, it is special, even in 2020, especially in 2020. But not for a very long time has saying Happy Christmas been so hard to say globally. There is so much suffering and disappointment regarding this Christmas time throughout the whole world. And saying Happy Christmas can seem out of place, even hurtful, because saying Happy Christmas can be seen as simply something that is just said this time of the year and has no real meaning to our lives. It's just an empty tradition. And this saying something, simply because it's expected at this time of the year, is often how people think about the historical account of the birth of Jesus. It happened a long time ago. It happened 2,000 years ago. And for most of us, it happened in a very different culture to our own. The Christmas story is seen as a nice story, where a baby is born, visitors arrive bringing gifts, and lots of people are happy, with words like peace, joy, and hope being used. The Christmas message is often seen as a nice story in a nice place with nice people, and a story that doesn't really make any difference to our lives right here and now, especially this year. But is that true? Is that really what we see in the birth of Jesus? Is the historical account of the birth of Jesus just all warm and fluffy? In other words, is it simply a story just to make us feel better about ourselves? Or is there more to it than that? Well, the truth is that the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, talks about people that are confused, terrified, anxious, and desperate. Their lives are not easy. And into this brokenness, this world that is not straightforward, where things are constantly changing, comes the most amazing good news the world has ever seen. So let's start by looking at Mary and Joseph. Well, Mary would have been around 14 years old, engaged to be married to Joseph, a godly woman, and with lots of plans for her future. She was going to get married, they were going to make a home, and hopefully sometime after getting married, start having children. She was going to be well respected in her society. People were going to think well of her. The future was looking really bright. It was looking really good for Mary. There were no problems that she could see on the horizon. And then we are told an angel, a messenger from God, appears to Mary. And this is what the angel says. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So first of all, an angel appears to Mary. Well, how frightening must that have been? Which is why the angel says, look, don't be afraid. And then the angel says that even more, Mary hadn't been with a man. She was going to be pregnant with the Son of the Most High God. This child that Mary was going to give birth to was going to be a very, very special child. He'll be a king whose rule, whose kingdom will never end. Now, can you imagine the emotions that must have been rushing through Mary's mind as she's hearing this? In that culture, at that time, having a child when you are not married would have caused a scandal. It would have been a big shock. And what would Joseph have thought when he hears the news that the woman who he is engaged to is now pregnant? He trusted Mary to be a godly woman and she is pregnant. Would he believe the story that she's saying? The plans that Mary had for her life have changed drastically. She is now on a very different path. And she is not just to have any child. This child will be the most special child that's ever been born. How will she raise this child? So imagine the feelings of fear, of anxiety that she must have been feeling at that point. She was going to be a mother now in 9 months, and she would have to start to prepare herself for the negative way in which the society were going to start treating her. Because will they believe her? Who would believe that an angel has appeared to her? Well, with all these emotions rushing through her mind, her response to the angel, to this news, is quite amazing. She accepts what she is told. She doesn't complain and is thankful of being chosen to be the mother of the Son of the Most High God. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And later she says, my heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God, my Savior. For he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, people will call me blessed. People will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. What an amazing response from a very young woman who's just had all her plans go up in smoke. And what about Joseph? Well, here was a man who was also godly, well-respected, and was engaged to be married to Mary. Now, he would have had similar hopes and dreams that Mary had had, to be married to a godly person, to have children, to be honored in society. The future looked really bright for Joseph as well. He couldn't see any problems on the horizon. And then he hears that Mary, his wife-to-be, the woman whom he loves, the woman whom he trusted, a godly woman, was pregnant. And she isn't even asking for forgiveness for what she's done. She's now making up a story that an angel appeared to her. So she's now lying to him, or so he thought. He must have been thinking, how could she have done such a thing to him? He would have started to question himself. Was his judgment of people really that bad? And what would people think of Joseph? Did they think he was the father of this child? Was he responsible? Or would they think that Mary had been cheating behind his back? Either way, he will be humiliated. He will be shamed. So Joseph could quite easily have screamed and shouted and done lots of other things, some far worse, and humiliated Mary in public in order to defend his honor. But he doesn't. He plans very quietly to cut off the engagement, showing he is truly an honorable man. Even though he thought Mary had not treated him well, he was going to do what was right towards her. Then in a dream, an angel appears to Joseph and tells him that what Mary had said was true. The child within her was by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save people from their sins. You see, this child was to come into the world to save people, to save us. This child was going to save us from the effect of our own sin. In other words, from us turning away from God. Now, this sin presents a barrier between us and God. And this child, Jesus, was going to break that barrier. This child was going to pay the price for sin and bring us back to God. So Mary, she hadn't lied to Joseph. Mary hadn't dishonored Joseph. Mary was a godly woman who was willing to do the will of God, no matter how difficult it was. Joseph now understood this and accepted Mary back as the woman he was to marry. The engagement was to remain. What a mixture of emotions that Mary and Joseph had just gone through. But it doesn't end there. Around 9 months later, Mary was heavily pregnant, and a census was required of the Roman world. In other words, everyone who the Roman Empire had conquered, so they were the major power in the world at that time. So people must go to the family home in order to sign up so that the occupying Romans would know how many people they ruled over. Joseph takes Mary from Nazareth to the town his family identified with, and that was Bethlehem. As they arrive in Bethlehem, Mary goes into labor. She is about to give birth. This is the very thing Mary and Joseph were afraid of. They were away, basically, from their family and friends. Maybe you are too this Christmas. Now, I've seen in my family and my friends that the birth of a child is a very anxious and a fearful time for parents, especially when it's their first child. And here was Joseph and Mary. The birth of their first child was about to happen, and they were away from their family and friends and any medical help. And they cannot find a place even to stay. Now, you can imagine the pain, the anxiety, and the fear that Mary must have been going through. She's about to give birth. And Joseph, well, he's probably just panicking. He's probably questioning his ability as a husband to care for his wife. He would have been shouting and screaming around Bethlehem, asking for anyone to take pity on them in order to offer them somewhere to stay. And just as they're going out of their minds with desperation, someone does take pity on them and shows them a place where their animals are kept, far from being an ideal place, an environment for a child to be born, let alone the Son of the Most High God. But it was dry, it was safe, it was private to some degree, and it was warm. And then Jesus is born. And their emotions of pain and anxiety and fear and desperation turn to joy, hope, and now peace with God. For this child has come to save all people, all nations from their sin, to provide a way back to God. And then finally, we look at the group called the Magi. The word is actually a Greek word meaning educated men, or as is sometimes known, the wise men. Sometimes we say the three wise men, three because of the three gifts, but we don't know how many there were. And they studied the stars, interpreted dreams, in order to know about the future. They were probably from Persia, Babylon, Arabia, and they were waiting for the promised king. Now, what they knew about God in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, the second part, the New Testament, hadn't been written yet. Well, we're not told. But whatever they knew that this king that was going to be born in Israel would be the king of all nations, all peoples. This king was amazing news for the whole world, but basically every people group on the planet. And so when they saw this bright light, this star in the sky, we're not sure what it was, they made a connection with the arrival of this very important king. And so they headed off. And they're really excited because they're going to meet this newborn king, the one who will bring good news for the whole world. And they arrive in Jerusalem expecting to meet this newborn king. But when they arrive, they're confused. No one knows anything about this child. King Herod, who rules that part in Jerusalem, hears about this. And after speaking with his advisors, his religious advisors, he calls the Magi together secretly. Now you can imagine the Magi are getting really confused now. because they're thinking, did we get the calculations wrong? Had we misread the prophecies? They're starting to doubt the whole journey and the hope of meeting this newborn king. And this King Herod, who should know about this king, well, he's asking to meet them secretly. So they meet King Herod, but they sense something is wrong. He says that he's very happy at this news of this newborn king, and he actually helps him. He says, well, actually, you need to look at Bethlehem, because my advisors have said that's probably where this child has been born. And he says, and when you find him, make sure you come back and tell me where he is, because I want to worship him as well. But there's something not quite right in the way that he's saying it. You see, when your first language is not the same as the other person, you rely massively on body language and on the tone of the voice of the person speaking. Now, I'm very aware of this, as my job is working with international students. And body language and the tone of a voice is extremely important for me to make myself known to the other person and for me to understand what the other person is saying. And you can imagine some of the Magi here who had left their country to come and find this king born in Israel would have noticed the body language of everyone around them at that time. And they would have noticed that King Herod, he is not as happy as he makes out he is. He's trying to cover up something. He was a very powerful man who was acting very secretively, and there was something he wasn't telling them. And so the Magi, feeling very confused and disappointed, but then that quickly is replaced by joy when they find the promised child, the promised king in Bethlehem, along with Joseph and Mary. They have found the one they were looking for, the one who will change everything, the one who will bring all peoples back into relationship with God. So their feelings of confusion regarding King Herod is replaced with understanding when they are warned in a dream not to go back to him because he was lying. He didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus. And so they go back another way, making sure that they didn't meet King Herod. They return home praising God at the arrival of this very, very special child, the promised king, the savior of the world. And then 33 years later, that child, now a man, dies. He is executed on a cross. And 3 days later, he comes back to life. Death cannot hold him. Jesus says that he is the only way back to God, the only way for us to truly live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Everyone who repents of their sin, in other words, who doesn't want to sin anymore and follows Jesus as the Lord of their life, well, he will bring them back to God to live the life they were made for, the best the life can offer. I have come that you might have life, life to the full. Jesus came into our world, our broken and confusing world. He did not stay in a far country, in a palace full of comfort. He came into our pain and suffering. He came into the messiness of life. He came so that we can have our sins forgiven and our relationship with God restored. You see, God comforts us in our loneliness. God will never leave us. God comforts us when we're afraid. God is greater than our fears. God comforts us when we are anxious. God is our all-loving and all-powerful Father. God comforts us when we are disappointed and confused. God knows our past, our present, and our future. And God comforts us when we are ashamed. God has adopted us into his family. God comforts us because he loves us. He wants what is best for us. But God is not simply there to meet all our needs. He's not some powerful deity that is simply waiting to give us all the things we ask for. He is an awesome God, an all-powerful, an all-loving God who created all things, and he is holy. He doesn't want to give us everything that we ask for, but he does greatly desire to give us what is best. And that is himself. Knowing God is the ultimate goal in life. Knowing him and enjoying him is what our hearts were made for. And our hearts will always be restless until we know him. So, in order to have a happy, a truly joyful, a truly blessed Christmas and a Dole Clawr, we need to know God. We can only do that through the promised child, the promised king, whose birth we remember at Christmas, Jesus Christ, God with us.